الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فنواصل بإذن الله تعالى الحديث عن الصفات الخلقية لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد وصلنا إلى باب ذكر وصف هند بن أبي هالة له صلى الله عليه وسلم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. We continue the description of the Prophet, peace be upon him. This time we will use the description of Hind ibn Abi Hala. Hind ibn Abi Hala.
هي أم المؤمنين خديجة رضي الله عنها.
His mother is أم المؤمنين خديجة. And this is the son of Khadija, peace be upon her, and you can say peace be upon her. The son of Khadija, peace be upon her, before she got married to the Prophet, peace be upon him. He is the son of Khadija, peace be, may Allah be pleased with her, before she married, got married to the Prophet, peace be upon him. And his father is Abu Hala.
هذا هو إيه الزوج السابق لأم خديجة رضي الله عنها
قبل husband صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهند بن أبي هالة رضي الله عنه يعتبر إيه
ربيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربيب اللي هو إيه ابن الزوجة.
So basically he is the stepson, the stepson of the Prophet peace be upon him, the stepson of the Prophet peace be upon him.
وكان وصافا يعني هند بن ابي هاله كان وصافا
and he was very clever at describing very clever at describing people some people are lousy when it comes to describing others but some people are very precise and very clever and very
فيقول الناظم رحمه الله وابن ابي هاله
when describing people he was one of them he was very accurate when it comes to describing
people.
So our poet here wants to use also the description of Ibn Abi Hala, the stepson of the Prophet, the stepson of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Hind Ibn Abi Hala, the stepson of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Here is what Hind Ibn Abi Hala said. Here's what he said. He said he was such a respectable person.
كان فخما يعني عظيما مفخما يعني
you would revere the moment you look at him because of his look his looks would give you the impression that this is someone that you have to respect
فخما مفخما يعني كان عظيما
someone that you have to revere
عليه الصلاة والسلام
someone that you have to revere
لوجهه تلألؤ كالبدر
his face was full of
الخلق عريض
it's as if the moon in the full moon in the middle of the night sky
كان وجهه يتلألأ كالبدر يعني كالقمر ليلة البدر اللي هو كما ورد يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان ظاهر الوضاء كان
when it comes to the members of the body but with wide chest again this is the description of Hind ibn Abi Hala the stepson of the Prophet he is describing him here
معتدل الخلق يعني كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معتدل الخلق يعني لا هو بالطويل المفرط ولا القصير يعني القصر المفرط ولا هو بالسمين يعني السمن المفرطا ولا هو بالنحيف النحاف المفرطا وكذا فكان معتدل الخلق عليه الصلاة والسلام عريض الصدر كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عريض الصدر وكما جاء في صفة إيه بعيد ما بين المنكبين
This conforms with the other characteristics that we mentioned earlier is that he had a wide of a span of shoulders. The distance between his two shoulders was wide.
Long distance between his two shoulders. فيقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عظيم الهامة يعني حجم الرأس الهامة اللي هي الرأس كان عظيم الرأس عليه الصلاة والسلام
His head was proportionately big, not too much big, but proportionately big, and not too small at all. His head was not small. His head was anything but small. So big, but proportionately big.
يعني جبينه عليه الصلاة والسلام واسع يعني ممتد طويل عريض.
And again, also wide forehead or
واسع.
Wide forehead.
وطويل وعريض. فم ضليع يقول كان ضليع الفم عليه الصلاة والسلام. معنى ضليع الفم يعني واسع الفم عظيم الفم، يعني كان واسع الفم عظيم الفم، وهذا قالوا يعني كان مما يعني يمدح صفة الرجل وكذا أن يكون عظيم الفم يؤدي إلى الفصاحة و
wide mouth, and this was one of the characteristics also that people at that time used to refer to as a beautiful characteristic, because usually the poets and people who are very articulate and stuff like that, when they come with wide mouth, that would have been something that matches their articulation and matches their ability to speak too.
ما صلب من عظم الأنف، هذا الايه يعني عظام الأنف اللي هو العلمين. وأقنى يعني مرتفع الأعلى محدود بالايه الوسط، قال أقنى يعني فيه ايه يعني فيه انحناء في وسطه، انحناء يعني معتدل من غير إفراط ولا كذا. فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقنى العلمين، يعني اللي هو يعني عظم ما صلب من عظم الأنف، أقنى يعني فيه إيه انحناء، يعني ليس خطا يعني مستقيما مثلا هكذا بدون انحناء، ولكن فيه تقلص يعني.
And with a curvature with a little or slight curvature in the bone of his nose. Slight curvature in the actually cartilage of his nose.
يعني
the cartilage of his nose was slightly curved. Which is something that currently everybody rushes to do with cosmetic surgery. He had it naturally.
من رآه إذ ما لم يتأمل ظنه أشم. يقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلوه النور، له نور يعلوه. يقول هند بن أبي هالة رضي الله عنه في صفة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم له نور يعلوه، يعني
full of light in his face. When you look at his face, full of light in his face.
والضياء عليه الصلاة والسلام. ويقول يحسبه من لم يتأمله أشم، يحسبه من لم يتأمله أشم. والشمم قالوا هو ارتفاع قصبة الأنف، ارتفاع قصبة الأنف. فيقول يعني الذي لم يتأمله يحسبه أشم من إيه من قصبة الأنف يعني مرتفعة، وهي إيه ليست كذلك. نعم، قصبة الأنف اللي يعني عظمة الطرف وعظمة الأنف يعني الطرف وعظمة.
Again with heightened or upraised with the cartilage of his nose raised a little bit upwards, raised a little bit, the tip of his nose raised a little bit upwards. And again, this is a characteristic of beauty that many people rush towards with cosmetic surgeries nowadays, when they try to raise the cartilage of the nose, the tip of the cartilage of the nose a little bit up.
أشنب بادن طويل الزنب. يقول مفلج الأسنان، مفلج الأسنان، الفلج اللي هو إيه وجود يعني فرجة بين
ثنايا
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Basically, most of his teeth or his teeth used to have spaces in between.
بها فلج يعني.
The front teeth only. The front teeth had space in between. The front two teeth had space in between them.
سيكون بين الثنيتين إيه فرجة. هذا يقال له الفلج. وهو أيضا يعني من الصفات المستحبة.
And this is again a characteristic of beauty. In fact, the ladies at that time used to do it. The Prophet peace be upon him said that this is forbidden. Ladies should not put space between their teeth to look beautiful. And that's what they used to do at that time.
يعني ليس فيهما بروز أو ارتفاع. الوجنتان ليس فيهما بروز أو ارتفاع.
The two cheeks are not uplifted. They are basically lean. They're not full or fat. They're lean.
من صفة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشنب، والشنب هو بياض الأسنان.
With white teeth.
أسنانه بيضاء.
Very white teeth.
شنب ليس مقصود الشنب اللي هو الشعر الذي فوق الشفة العليا، ليس مقصود شعر الشارب يعني، لكن الكلام هنا الشنب هذا من صفات الأسنان. فيقال فلان أشنب يعني أبيض الأسنان.
Very white teeth.
فكان عليه الصلاة والسلام أشنب يعني أبيض الأسنان. بادن من صفات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، بادن يعني ضخم البدن، ضخم البدن.
With big body.
ضخم البدن
big body means
يعني
the skeleton
صفة
was
تفهم
big.
إيه في ضوء يعني
the skeleton his bones the skeleton of his bones was big.
لم يكن مسترخي البطن ولا كان طويلا.
Basically a muscular body or a big body like a muscular body.
بمعنى عريض الصدر بعيد.
Wide chest, far distance or wide distance between the two shoulders, big body, it means a muscular body basically.
يعني كما ورد يعني في صفة أيضا عظيم يبقى. المشاش، المشاش اللي هو رؤوس العظام يعني.
And another characteristic that came in another hadith, as Sheikh mentioned, is that the tips of his bones were big. It's like his elbow, his the ends of the bones, that his knees, the ends of the bones were big. Again, to give you eventually the combination that looks like a muscular body, a muscular or a massively manly body.
طويل الزندي. والزند اللي هو ايه يعني لحم الذراع يعني الذراع. فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني طويل الايه يعني الذراع عليه الصلاة
والسلام،
او بعبارة اخرى يعني موصل طرف الذراع في الكف، يعني موصل طرف الذراع في الكف. يعني طبعا الذراع له اجزاء، يعني في جزء اللي هو العضد، هذا العضد، وبعدين العضد اللي هو ما بين المنكب والايه والمرفق، وبعدين ما بين المرفق والرسغ هذا يقال له الايه الساعد، وبعدين ياتي الرسغ وبعدين الكف وكذا. فكان يعني عظام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني عريضة عليه الصلاة والسلام. يقول عنقه يرى كجيب دمية مع صفاء لونه كالفضة. يقول عنقه يرى كجيب دمية مع صفاء لونه كالفضة.
His neck.
فعنق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يرى كجيب الدمية. الدمية
and it is
تأتي كلمة الدمية بمعنى الصورة المجسمة من الرخام أو العاج.
As if it is made of marble.
فعنق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يرى كجيد الدمية يعني كجيد
الإيه. That's how sparkly it was. Very sparkly.
من العاج أو من الرخام أو كذا، يعني في حسنه يعني وصفاء لونه.
And how clean and pure it was.
كالفضة. مع صفاء لونه كالفضة. يقول يعني كان عنق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كالفضة الصافية، كالفضة الصافية. ثم يقول أزج في غير قرن إذا غضب بينهما عرق يدره الغضب. يقول أزج في غير قرن، أزج يعني الحاجبين، أزج الإيه حاجبين عليه الصلاة والسلام في غير قرن، يعني من غير ايه التقاء بينهما. فإذا الذين وصفوا بأنه كان مقرون الحاجبين فهذا ليس ايه يعني كما قلنا، يعني هذا يراه من بعيد لكن الذي يدقق يعني
في الحاجبين. And here again
يجب أنهما يعني إيه
it's a description of someone who is describing it from near, not from far.
بين حاجبي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
and all those who are described from close by or nearby, they would say that his eyeballs were not connected, they were basically disconnected. But if you describe it from far, they would look like connected. And he said that there was a blood vessel, a blood vessel that ran in the middle of his two eyebrows, between his two eyebrows, that would become prominent or that would protrude if he becomes angry. Whenever he would become angry, that blood vessel between his two eyebrows would protrude out. And when he'd be happy, you'd see pearl coming out of his face. It's how beautiful his laughter was and his smile was. Peace be upon him. And when he would become angry, that would look very obvious in his face, to the extent that that blood vessel running between his two eyebrows would protrude and would become prominent.
مجتابي النمار عليهم ثيابي يعني مشققة من شدة فقرهم وكذا ثيابهم مشققة ومزقة وفي فقر يعني شديد وكذا وقدموا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما رآهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فتمعر وجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني لما رأى هؤلاء يعني من المسلمين والفقراء يعني محتاجون الناس لا يسدون حاجتهم فحتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس على الصدقة
One of the hadiths that came to reflect the fact about him when he gets angry is a hadith that mentioned that once the Prophet peace be upon him received a few people from Qutar, a tribe in the peninsula, and those people were very poor to the extent that their clothes were torn, very shabby clothes. And when he received them, they said to him, he became very angry at the way that they looked because people left them poor and in such need, so he encouraged people to donate, and he would actually praise the first one that preceded charity. So when people rushed into charity and they responded to the call of the Prophet peace be upon him to fulfill the need of those poor people, the Prophet, his face was full of light, and the laughter came out of his face, or the smile came out of his face, came out on his face, as if you'd see pearls in his face.
يقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سائل الأطراف
that when he become angry that would show very obviously on his face and when he become happy that would show very obviously on his face so basically his emotions would reflect very very obviously on his face you would know exactly what he feels from his face he would not act he was not a hypocrite he was a believer the best believer ever and because of being that the best believer ever. He was clean to an extent and pure to the extent that everything that he felt or anything that he felt would reflect right away on his face. With big hands, that's again, see this person here, in the Bihala, is the stepson of the Prophet, is again repeating this characteristic that we saw in other descriptions, that he had big hands. He had a big hand. And actually, Sheikh says it's not only a characteristic of physique, it's also a characteristic of generosity. And the Arabs at that time used to use it as a characteristic also of generosity. When I say about someone that he has a big hand, that also indicates metaphorically indicates generosity. With big tips of bones, so the ends of his bones were big, or the joints basically, big joints. So the elbows were big, the shoulders were big, the knees would be big, the ends of the bones, the joints basically, the joints, the joint between two bones would look big.
With fast
and wide pace unpurposefully he would have a wide and fast pace to the extent that anyone who tries to walk with him would have hard time catching up with him. Even the fittest of the people would have hard time catching up with him, and he would not be doing that on purpose. He would be just walking walking easily like that, and people who would walk with him, they would have hard time catching up with him because of how strong his pace and his step was. Peace be upon him. With this, we end all the descriptions that came in this poetry, and we move to again one of the most beautiful sections that probably you'll come across, which is the manners of the Prophet, peace be upon him. The manners of the Prophet, peace be upon him. When you see that his Lord describe him saying that you have the best of the manners, then you know that this is someone who had the perfect manners. So perfect looks and perfect manners. Why? Because this is the example. And like we said earlier, you follow him, you listen to a description, and you feel that this is home when it comes to how humanity, how humans should be like.
يرضى بما يرضاه ليس يغضب
لنفسه إلا إذا تكبر
محارم الله إذا
فيتقن
فأحد لذاك أصلا لم يقم. يقول أكرم بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Listen to this and really ponder about it. Don't take this lightly because this is going to be something that you will need to mimic. First enjoy and then mimic.
عليه الصلاة والسلام خلقه القرآن خلقه القرآن عليه الصلاة والسلام
عائشة
رضي الله عنها قالت كان خلقه القرآن.
Just as Aisha described them, when they asked her what was his manners like, she said one word, Quran. You want to know his manners? Quran. Read Quran and you know his manners. He was Quran in action. He was a Quran walking on the earth. That was basically what his manners were like. Quran. So he would get angry if a law or a rule of Allah on the earth was violated. He would be so happy to see Allah obeyed. And he would be satisfied and pleased when there is something done to please Allah. And he would be very angry when there is something done to anger Allah. Everything that Allah ordered us, he would order us to do. And everything that Allah forbade us from doing, he would forbid us to do. Everything Allah forbade us to do, he would forbid us to do. So basically, Quran in action. If you want to brief everything about him, you say this about his manners. Quran in action. Just like Aisha said, you want to know the ethics or the manners of the Prophet? The manners of the Prophet where? Quran. Just one word. Quran. The Quran that you hold in your hands and you read. This was the manners of the Prophet. But let's go a little bit more in detail. Let's get into detail a little bit more. He would not get angry for himself, so he would not take it personally. And even to the extent when he would be harmed, he would forgive. He would forgive. He doesn't care about what would happen to himself. In fact, when he was thrown with stones, when he was coming out from a Ta'if, and the people of Ta'if threw him with stones, the angel of the mountains came to him and he said, if you want me to collapse the two mountains surrounding Mecca on top of him, I do it. And the Prophet said, no, maybe Allah will take out of those people, will make out of the progeny of those people, someone who will say, La ilaha illallah. And indeed it happened. And when he opened Mecca, he entered victorious. He entered with big victory into the town that dismissed him. And when they said to him, when he told them, what do you think I'll be doing with you? They said, a generous brother and the son of a generous brother. But indeed before, they harmed him big deal. So what he did, he said to them, go, you're free. Go, you're free. So he wouldn't take anything personal. Nothing personal. So anything that would be done to him to harm him, he doesn't care about. He doesn't take it personal. But whenever the rule of Allah is violated, he'd be the most angry person. Any violation to the rule of Allah, he takes it very seriously.
فجاء أنه إذا انتهكت حرمة الله كان أشد الناس غضبا.
Only when the rule of Allah gets violated is what makes him very angry. But if he's harmed, he doesn't pay attention to that.
قال بعثه الرحمن بالإرفاق
in fact when
كيما يتم صالح الأخلاق
his teeth with the sword
بعثه الرحمن
he said may Allah forgive my people they
يعني
don't
بعثه
know
الله سبحانه
may Allah forgive my people they don't know
فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحث على الرفق
he was full of mercy
قال صلى الله
gentleness,
عليه وسلم
tolerance, forbearance
يعني قال عليه الصلاة والسلام ما كان الرفق في شيء إلا زانه ولا
gentleness,
نزع الرفق من شيء
that gentleness
إلا
has never been mixed with anything except that it decorated it and it was never taken out from anything except that it adulterated it. So if there is gentleness in what you do, you decorate that thing that you do with your gentleness. And if there is no gentleness in what you do, it gets adulterated, it gets spoiled. In fact, the Prophet peace be said, if Allah wants good for the people of one house, He makes them gentle amongst each other, gentle or nice to each other. They don't quarrel with each other, they don't have feuds with each other. Ease comes amongst them. The Prophet loved gentleness, loved being nice to people, real nice, not acting nice, real nice to people, real gentle to people. And he said, I was sent to perfect the beauties of the manners.
بعض الأخلاق الحسنة يعني التي كانت
موجودة It means that there were some good manners back then. Yes, they were doing things like generosity. They were generous. They were courageous. They were forbearant. But they had very terrible manners too. The Arabs at that time. But the Prophet said, "I was sent to perfect the good manners." To perfect the good manners. He says, the most courageous and the most generous when it comes to giving. He was never asked anything and said no. He would never say no. Anything you ask him, he'd give it to you. He'd give anything that he has.
The most courageous وأنجد الناس من النجدة لإعانة وإغاثة
and he would rush into the help of those who need his help. He would rush into the help of those who need his help.
استنجد به يطلب مساعدته في دفع ظلم عنه وفي نصرته.
Giving
حتى قبل بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
even before he became a prophet
قبل بعثة
he was
النبي
famous
صلى الله
for these characteristics even before he became a prophet don't you remember that they used to call him as-sadiq al-amin the honest one the trustworthy one that's what he used to call him even before he became a prophet why because how trustworthy you are and how honest you are
على نصرة المظلوم على نصرة الايه المظلوم وانه يعني اذا استنجد به المظلوم ذلك ان ايه ان رجلا يعني كان قد جاء يعني كان يعني بينه مبايعه بينه وبين ابي جهل وباع بعض البضائع اشتراها منه ابو جهل ثم ما طله في ثمنها فوقف هذا الرجل يعني المظلوم و يعني ونادى يعني فوق
There was once a deal or a transaction that took place between Abu Jahl and another person. Abu Jahl probably bought or sold him some stuff and didn't pay him. He actually bought some stuff from him and didn't pay him. So the man went on top of a hill and kept on calling people to help him against Abu Jahl, who procrastinating the pay and eventually ended up not paying him. So the Arabs at that time gathered or convened and the Prophet contributed onto that treaty. They had a treaty and the Prophet peace contributed onto that treaty.
وأشجع الناس من شجاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنهم كانوا إذا حمي الوقيف كانوا يحتمون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
كان يشهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم for being helpful to the people that needed the help. And in the middle of the battles,
يقاتل في سبيل الله خروجه للغزو هذا من الشجاعة.
كم يشهد؟
27.
He witnessed 27 battles himself. 27 battles he shared, or he contributed 27 battles in his life. And listen to this and remember it. Ali ibn Talib said, when it becomes heavy in the battle to the extent that we are under attack or that we are facing heavy battling, we seek protection unto the body of the Prophet.
كأنه جيش courageous he was.
So when the battle becomes very heavy and the battle becomes fierce, the companions, including Ali ibn Abi Talib, his cousin, would seek protection under the body of the Prophet, would hide under the body or behind the body of the Prophet, peace be upon him. The people in the Medina said that on one day they heard a very loud voice, a very loud rumble in Medina, a very loud rumble in Medina, and everybody woke up and they chopped the backs of their horses and they rushed towards the voice to see what was going on. So the moment they dropped the horses and went to see what was going on, they saw somebody coming back from the source of the voice, from the source of the sound, and that was the Prophet. He was already coming back. By the time they were chopping the horses, the backs of the horses, heading towards the source of the sound, he was already coming back, and he told them, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. There is nothing there.
يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني عرض نفسه عليه الصلاة والسلام يعني المخاطرة يعني لكن الشجاعة.
So he rushed into the risk to find out what was there. I don't know what exactly. هل الشيخ في أي شيء في رواية يدل على إيش هذا كان يعني زلزال أو كان إيش أو؟
لا كان قافلة تجارية يعني كانوا تجار جايين ببضائع قال لن تراعوا وإن وجدناه لبحرا. والبحر هنا يعني التجار الذين معهم الخير يعني معهم
and الخير actually it was not earthquake or anything. In fact, it was just a trading group coming coming into the Medina, and they made a lot of commotion or a lot of not commotion, a lot of rumbling sounds and stuff like that with their horses and with their and stuff like that. So the people in the Medina rushed towards the place to see what was going on because they didn't want any chances, or they didn't want to take chances with the safety and security of their families. So when they topped the backs of their horses and headed towards the sound to see what was going on, they found the Prophet already coming back and told them, don't be afraid, it's just that it was a group of people coming into the town to sell their goods. That's how courageous he was. He would rush into the risk by himself, the first one to rush into the risk to cover the people behind him. Again, we repeat the hadith of Ali who said that I would seek protection onto the body of the Prophet, peace be upon him, when the battle becomes fierce. I hide behind the body of the Prophet, peace be upon him. The question here from the brother about the treaty that was signed by the Arabs before the prophecy to give victory to the people who faced transgression, because of that man was triggered by that man who had a bad deal with Abu Jahl, or was Abu Lahab, I don't remember. But anyways, the brother was asking if this is something legitimate in Islam, and Sheikh said, yes, it is. It is very legitimate to have a treaty in Islam to give victory to the people who face transgression, or people who face oppression, or people who are in need to help against anyone who is a transgressor and so on and so forth. So it is legitimate in Islam to do that. In fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was called into a treaty before Islam, and if I was called into the same treaty in Islam, I would respond to it.
لم يزده الإسلام إلا شدة يعني إلا قوة. فمعناه ان الحلف يعني ليس كله هنا.
And if there was a treaty in the time of jahiliyyah, in the time of ignorance,
it's
that gave it legitimacy or gave it strength. That's what the Prophet peace be upon him said. That if there was any treaty fostering virtues or fostering good manners or fostering support to the needy or fostering good things and good ethics and good transactions between people and fair play basically between people, is that Islam came to give more legitimacy and more power and more strength to these treaties. So the Prophet peace be upon him said, I was called to a treaty before Islam, and if I was called to such a treaty in Islam, I would respond to it.
في أقل الجماعات وأقصر الاجتماعات. فمعناه أن أي يعني جماعة يكونون أكثر أو صحبتهم صحبة بعضهم لبعض يعني أطول، فهم أحق إيه أن يؤمروا عليهم أحدهم، يعني يكون لهم إيه يعني كبير أو مسؤول يسمونه رئيس الجمعية، رئيس الهيئة، رئيس المجلس، أيا كان الاسم. يعني القصد أنه يعني كل مجموعة يعني يقيمون في مكان يعني ينبغي أن يكون لهم يعني نظام ولهم كبير يرجعون إليه.
And also, Sheikh says that this fosters the concept of organization. Is that there has to be an organization anywhere there is a group of people. A group of people cannot exist in an anarchy, cannot exist in a chaotic system. Wherever there is a group of people, there has to be organization, there has to be leadership taking care of them, there has to be people running the place, people running the order of the place, there has to be order. And that's why these treaties. These treaties are credited and are meritorious. They have merit, and the reason they have merit is that they foster organization, they foster leadership, they foster discipline and system. They foster discipline and system, something that Islam wants to push forward. Islam does not encourage anarchism or chaos or commotion or mess. Islam doesn't want any of that. So these treaties are good if they bring more organization, if they bring more system, if they bring more discipline, if they bring more leadership and more amelioration into how things are run and how things happen, how systematically they happen. Because Islam is a religion of discipline.
من كرم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه ما سئل قط حاجة فقال لا عليه الصلاة والسلام.
He was never asked anything and said no. He never said no to someone who asked him something. So if he received someone to ask him something, it's either that he gives it to him right away, or that if he doesn't have it, he would tell him to come back later. But he would never say to him no. He would say come back later. And when that person comes back later, the Prophet makes sure that he would be prepared to give it to him.
وعده خيرا عليه الصلاة والسلام ثم إذا جاءه العطاء أعطاه. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني إذا سئل شيئا يأتي السائل ويسأله مالا، يسأله ثوبا، يسأله كذا.
So he would receive someone to ask him money, to ask him for money, to ask him for clothes, to ask him for anything. If the Prophet doesn't have it, if the Prophet has it, he would give it to him right away. There is no no. And if he doesn't have it, he would promise him that he will give it to him.
وبقيت بعض الوعود التي وعدها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لبعض الناس وتوفي قبل إنجازها عليه الصلاة والسلام. فلما ولي أبو بكر الخلافة رضي الله عنه قال من يعني نادى في الناس وقال من كانت له عدة عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأتيك
his companion, his top companion who took the succession after him, he said if the Prophet promised anyone anything and he didn't fulfill it because of his death, come to me and I'll fulfill it. So anybody who came to Abu Bakr and told him that the Prophet promised him something, Abu Bakr would give it to him. Abu Bakr would give it to him.
قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لي إذا جاءنا مال حكوت لك منه هكذا وهكذا وحتى إيه حفيتين. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لجابر هذا فأتى أبو بكر رضي الله عنه بالمال وحفى وحفى حفية وقال عدها فكانت ضمن 50 درهم أو كذا.
Peace be upon me that if he received money, he would take 2 scoops out of and he would give it to me, and he exactly mimicked the way the Prophet peace be upon him told him that. So when Abu Bakr received money, he did exactly the same thing that the Prophet promised Jabir. He took the money and he took 2 scoops of his hands out of the money and gave it to Jabir, the way that the Prophet peace be upon him.
بردة فلبسها محتاجا إليها عليه الصلاة والسلام.
The Prophet was in need to clothes because of how jealous he was. He would give everything that he has. He was rich, but because of how jealous he was, he would give everything that he has. So a woman came to the Prophet and gifted him a garment. Gifted him a garment. So a man attending the story or attending the incident with the companions around them, that man told the Prophet, give it to me, give it to me, O Prophet. So the companions blamed him and they said to him, he knew that the Prophet would not reject you and would not dishonor your call or your question. Why did you ask him to give it to you even though you knew that he needs it? He said, I didn't want it because I needed it. I wanted it from him because I wanted to be shrouded with it when I die. I wanted this to be my
يقول وليس يأوي منزلا إن فضل مما أتى درهم أو دينار حتى تريح منهما الأقدام. ما معنى هذا؟ يقول يعني إذا جاءت أموال يعني الأموال إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت تجمع الصدقات ويعني والغنائم والأموال يعني تأتي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإذا جاءت الأموال يعني التي هي للمسلمين وكذا لا يستريح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا يعني يأوي إلى منزل حتى يفرق هذه الأموال، يعني هنا حتى تريح منهما الأقدار، يعني حتى يستريح يعني ويراح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقدر الله تعالى حتى يراح من هذه الدراهم والدنانير، يعني كانت تؤرقه هذه الأموال.
Any time he'd receive money coming from any bounties or coming from gifts or anything, he would not sit in peace until he distributes all this money.
الحديث يعني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى بين يوما صلاة العصر، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى بين صلاة العصر فخفف في صلاته عليه الصلاة والسلام، خفف الصلاة، ثم لما سلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم سلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فتخطى الرقاب مسرعا إلى بيته، ففزع الناس لسرعته، يعني على غير عادة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دائما يعني يسلم من الصلاة ويجلس.
There is once an incident that happened. The Prophet peace be upon him prayed Asr prayer and the companions prayed behind him, and they said that this specific time he was faster than his tradition. He was faster than how usually he was, to the extent that as soon as he finished the prayer, he rushed into his house, and the people were very much discomforted by his speed because they were afraid if there's something wrong with him. They didn't know if there was something wrong with him. But when he came back with some gold in his hands, and he started distributing that gold over the people. So they said to him, we were scared when we saw how rushy you were.
قال هذا لا يعتبر يعني مما لا هذا لا يخل بالخشوع في الصلاة، لأنه تفكر في الخير الذي يخل بالخشوع.
And he said, I remember it.
تفكير في أمور الدنيا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني فكر في
So he basically thought
تفريق الصدقة.
About distributing.
يعني فكر إنه مشغول بال في الصلاة.
The money or the gold that he had, he didn't want the money to stay in his house. He wanted to distribute it right away. That's how generous he was. He would receive a lot of money, yet he would distribute them all. Even as he was given 1/5 of the bounties of war as a right for him that Allah prescribed to him, yet he would keep it. He would distribute it right away. The Prophet distributed the gold over the companions on that day. So the point that we're trying to make is that he would not feel comfortable until he would distribute everything that he had.
دخل العصر ولم يصلي راتبة الظهر البعدية فقضاها بعد العصر يعني حتى سنة الظهر البعدية لأن العادة أنه يصلي بعد صلاة الظهر يصلي ركعات الظهر البعدية سنة الظهر لكن في ذلك اليوم يعني مجرد أن صلى الفريضة وشرع في تفريق الأموال إلى أن دخل العصر فصلى العصر
ثم قضى He prayed Dhuhr and he got busy distributing the money that he had until the Asr prayer came and he could not, or he was busy enough that he couldn't pray the Sunnah of the Dhuhr. So he prayed, he made up for the Sunnah of the Dhuhr after he prayed Asr. That's how keen and fervent he was to distribute any money that he had. And he always feared that he would die with anything in his house. Anything in his house that he would have given it away for charity, that he would have given it away to the Muslims.
يقول كان صلى الله عليه وسلم أصدق الناس لهجة يعني كان أصدق الناس كلاما عليه الصلاة والسلام
he says صدق اللهجة says يعني that he was the most credible when it comes to speech
ويأتي أيضا بمعنى
very credible
صفاء السريرة نقاء السريرة يعني
and very innocent
عدم الغش وعدم المخادعة
وكذا he would not do any mischief to anyone and he would not deceive anyone
What he sees, what he gets,
his interior is his exterior.
أصدق الناس أصدق لهجة وأوفى ذمة الذمة هي العهد والأمان يعني إذا أعطى عهدا
very trustworthy if he promised anything he would deliver right away
أعطاه أمانا فهو أوفى الناس بذمته وعهده عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يغضب
very loyal
عليه الصلاة والسلام ولا يكون
would never violate the rules or the treaties or
وألينهم عريكة عليه الصلاة والسلام يعني أحسنهم معاشرة
deceive anyone
التواضع التواضع يقال فلان لين العريكة بمعنى متواضع
very modest
قليل النفور والخلاف
very modest and he doesn't dispute with anyone he doesn't like arguing with anyone He wouldn't argue with anyone.
قال أكرمهم في عشرة لا يحسب جليسه أن سواه أقرب. فيقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكرم الناس عشرة. العشرة بمعنى المعاشرة والمصاحبة.
The best companion, when you have him as your companion, he'd be the best companion. The best companion. You wouldn't have a companion better than him. That's what his companions themselves described him. That he was the best companion, the closest companion, the best friend, basically. If you have him as a friend, he'd be your best friend. He'd always mention the favors of people rather than denying them. He'd always mention the favors of the people rather than denying them.
صاحبات خديجة رضي الله عنها وأرضاها بعد وفاتها كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكرم صاحبات خديجة.
He used to be very generous and very nice to the friends of Khadija even after Khadija died, and he said that. Loyalty is part of our religion. Loyalty is part of our religion. If you're loyal, then this is a part of our religion. Loyalty is part of our religion. This is what the Prophet peace be upon him said. What it meant. Loyalty is part of our religion. Be loyal.
يحسب أنه أقرب الناس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بما إيه؟
And يعني he'd be nice to people to the extent that everyone would think that he is his best friend. He'd give him enough attention يعني that makes him feel he is the closest to him.
يعني يشعر أنه إيه؟ له يعني اختصاص بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Everyone would get special attention to the extent that he'd think that he is the closest one.
يعني حتى إن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه.
He'd give you special attention that makes you feel you're closest one to him, but indeed you're not. I mean, everyone gets that special attention. Everyone gets that special treatment.
يعني ويبدي له يعني
gives you enough attention and enough friendship and enough closeness and enough in fact, one of the companions got that attention and he presumed too much. He went to the Prophet one day and he said, "Oh Prophet, who is the closest person to you, or the most beloved person to you?" He said, "Aisha." And the companion got astonished. He thought that he is the most beloved one to the Prophet. That's because of how much the Prophet gave him attention. He said, "Who is the most beloved person to you?" He said, "Aisha, his wife." He said, "Amongst men." He said her father.
حياؤه يربو على العذراء في خدرها من أخلاقه صلى الله عليه وسلم الكريمة خلق الحياء. خلق الحياء.
Everyone would get a special treatment. كان أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها. Presume too much.
العذراء هي الفتاة التي لم تتزوج في خدرها يعني في بيتها التي يعني لا تقصر الخروج من البيت.
Very shy.
فهذه تكون يعني من صفاتها الحياء ومن أخلاقها. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان أشد حياء من العذراء.
In fact, the companion said he was more shy than the virgin who never saw a man or who didn't see a man. That's how shy he was. Very shy.
جاءت امرأة يعني تسأله عليه الصلاة والسلام عن يعني عن التطهر من الحياء. عن التطهر من الحيض. فقالت خذي خرقة فتطهري بها. فقالت كيف أتطهر بها؟ فاحمر وجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقالت تلي هذه تلي عائشة. يعني استحيا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
There is a story that or a hadith that a woman came to the Prophet and said, asked him about a question or asked him a question about when would she clean from or become clean from the monthly courses, and he gave her the answer. Like take a probably a towel or something and clean yourself with it. So she said, how can I clean myself with it? And the face of the Prophet peace be upon him, and he said, ask this, pointing at Aisha, his wife, go and ask her. He would not be able to give her an answer about how she would clean herself from the nurses courses.
يعني ذكر وحدانية الله سبحانه وتعالى يشير بإصبعه السبابة إلى السماء ويرفع بصره إلى السماء أحيانا في الحديث يعني إذا جاء الكلام عن توحيد الله تعالى وأنه لا إله إلا هو
very polite with his Lord. Any time the name of his Lord would be mentioned and the name of the or any time the monotheism of his Lord would be mentioned, he would look to heavens and point with his index finger, and when he walks he puts his sight to the ground. He puts his sight or he lowers his gaze to the ground when he would be walking. That's how modest he was.
يعني لا يثبت بصره في وجه أحد لحيائه عليه الصلاة والسلام. يعني قالوا كان من حيائه عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا حدث أحدا إنه إيه لا يثبت بصره في وجهه.
When he talks to someone, he doesn't stare at him.
عليه الصلاة والسلام.
He doesn't stare at someone when he talks to him. That's out of his shyness. He wouldn't be able to stare at someone.
ينظر إليه لكن يخفض إيه.
He just would lower his gaze.
بصره عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا حدث.
هذا
من كمال الحياء طبعا في
That's how shy he was.
الغرب يعني عندهم يعتبرون هذا من
In fact, this is something يعني that wouldn't click here in this country or in the West in general, because in the West they consider shyness a shortcoming. They consider shyness a shortcoming, and they would stare at you, a man or a woman. In fact, women unfortunately consider shyness a shortcoming, but this is not. It is not a shortcoming. It is a characteristic of beauty. Shyness is not a shortcoming by any means. He would lower his gaze right away out of his shyness.
أكثرهم تواضعا يجيب داعيه بعيد أو قريب من عبد أو حر فقير أو غني وأرحم الناس لكل مؤمن. فيصف النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بالتواضع
He was modest.
كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني أكثر الناس.
This is something that was
تواضعاً.
Very modest.
عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Very modest.
خير النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
In fact, he was given a choice between either being
أو عبداً
a
رسولاً.
Prophet, slave,
اختار صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني جاءه جبريل وخيره
king.
قال إن ربك يخيرك يعني ملك النبي أو عبدا رسولا.
King, prophet, or a messenger slave. He said, but messenger slave.
أن يكون عبدا رسولا.
But messenger slave.
وكان عظيم التواضع عليه.
So he was very modest. Peace be upon him.
يعني لما جاءه يعني لما جاء رجل يعني وجلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأرعد الرجل من هيبته.
One man once came to the
place
where the prophet was sitting, and the man got scared of the prophet because the prophet looked very respectable. So the man said, the prophet said, take it easy, my brother. I am the son of a woman who was eating the average food in Mecca. Who was eating the average food in Mecca. I am the son of a woman who was eating the average food in Mecca. Take it easy, my brother. I am the son of a woman who was eating the average food in Mecca.
آكل كما يأكل العبد وأجلس كما يجلس العبد.
And he used to say, I am a slave. I eat like the slaves eat, and I sit like the slaves sit. Do not be extreme about me, just as the Christians were extreme or are extreme about Jesus, the Son of Mary. I am just the slave of Allah. Do not be extreme about me, just like the Christians are extreme about Jesus, the Son of Mary. I am just the slave of Allah. Nobody would make a way for him. He would just walk among his people, just as one of them. In fact, very modest to the extent that when he came to Medina after his migration, people confused Abu Bakr with him. They didn't know who was the prophet. That's how humble and how modest he was. So no distinguished clothes, nothing different about him. When it comes to the way that he clothed himself or the clothes or the way that he walked, the way that he treated people, just as anyone else. Very modest. Modesty was one of the
prominent
characteristics here. And when he would receive an invitation for food, invitation to food from anyone, he would respond to that invitation positively. At any cost.
He would always
respond to that invitation from a free man or a slave or a rich or a poor. He doesn't care. He would respond to anything. He said that if I was invited to the shoulder of the lamb, I would respond. And if I was invited to the lowest or the least part of the lamb, I would still respond. In fact, once he was invited to a piece of bread and to some fat that was spoiled fat from a Jew. A Jewish invited the Prophet to some bread and some fat that was spoiled, or it was smelly, and the taste became different, or became or showed the signs of being rotten or being spoiled because of how long it was there. And the Prophet responded, and he ate from it. He ate from it as easy as any modest person, just as a modest person would act. Very modest, very merciful to people. Very modest to people. Very, very merciful to people. Peace be upon him.
قال وأرحم الناس بكل مؤمن وقائف يعروه حتى الهرة يصغي لها الإناء غير مرة. يقول كان أرحم الناس بالمؤمنين وأرحم الناس بكل طائف يعروه يعني يقصده لمن طاف به يقصده يلتمس حاجة منه. يقول حتى الهرة يعني كان رحيما حتى للفضة إذا فقدت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني تريد طعاما إذا جاءت الفضة يصغي لها الإناء يكون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم معه من لبن يشرب فتأتي الفضة فيقرب لها الإناء ويبنيه لها حتى يشرب الفضة ويشرب من أثرها عليه الصلاة والسلام وكان يقول إنها من الطوافين عليكم والطوافات.
And he would say that these are animals that run around you the whole time.
مرات كثيرة وكل المرات يعني التي جاءت فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تلتمس طعاما
some drink some milk or water in some pot and after the cat would drink from the pot he would drink after the cat as modest as this. And he would say that this is among the stones that run around you the whole time. And he said that anything that has a liver
يعني
it's something that you can get charity. It's something that you give charity to. So it's not only humans. You can give even charity to animals. You can give even charity to any animals. Give charity to cats, to dogs, to any animal. Because the Prophet said that anything that has a liver is something that you give charity to. That you can give charity to.
صالح أخلاق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خلق العفة. فكان أعف الناس عليه الصلاة والسلام يعني يقول كان أعف الناس عليه الصلاة والسلام يتعفف عما حرم الله سبحانه وتعالى و
he was someone who would never touch or get close to something that Allah
يعني لا تمس يده يد امرأة لا تحل له
his hands never touched a woman that is not halal for him or that does not relate to him
يعني امرأة لا تحل له عليه الصلاة والسلام.
His hands never touched a woman.
عندما كان يبايع النساء كان لا يصافحهم.
And when he would come to pledge allegiance, he would not shake hands with them. In fact, what they did is that they put they gave them the pledge of allegiance using talking, or that they talked to him, but they never shook hands.
أشدهم لصحبه إكراما. ليس يمد رجله احتراما بينهم ولم يكن يقدم ركبته على الجليس يكرمه. يقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد الناس لصحبه إكراما ومن ذلك أنه كان لا يمد رجله بينهم عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Very dutiful to their to his companions and very respectful to them to the extent that he wouldn't stretch his legs when he would sit with them.
ولم يكن يقدم ركبته
على this when he would sit with them he wouldn't stretch his legs. He would sit and pull his legs towards his body out of respect to his companions when he'd sit with them out of dutifulness to his companions.
جاء في الحديث يعني كان صلى الله عليه وسلم أوقر الناس في مجلسه لا يكاد يخرج شيئا من أطرافه إكراما واحتراما له.
So he would not stretch any limbs.
فمن بديهة رآه
هذا
طبعا ومن خالطه أحبه صفة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه من رآه بديهة هابه ومن خالطه عشرة أحبه.
One of his characteristics is that if you see him and you don't know him, you'd have a little bit of fear from him because of how he looked. Not because he was angry or anything, but because of how powerful and strong his body was. His body was very strong, very powerful, and full of respect. And you'd see him the first time and you have some fear, a little bit of fear from him, slight fear from him. Just like this man who came to him and he had some shiver in his body because of when he saw the Prophet. So the Prophet said, take it easy, my brother, take it easy. I am just the son of a woman in Mecca that used to eat average food. So just take it easy. But when you get close to him and deal with him,
قال يمشي مع المسكين والأرملة في حاجة من غير ما أنفتني. فكان من أخلاقه عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه يمشي مع المسكين والأرملة في حوائجهم. إذا جاء المسكين يريد من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
and we're not talking about money only here or materials. It would be just fulfilling people's needs. So if an orphan or a widow needs something from him, he would go and do it on behalf of him. He would do it on behalf of him. If a widow needs something and needs help performing something that she can't do, he would do it on behalf of her. Running an errand or doing something that she needed but she wouldn't be able to do, he would do it piecemeal for her, on behalf of her. So he'd basically walk in the need of others, walk in the need of others. The poor, the needy, the slaves, because at that time there was slavery, the widows, the orphans, anyone who would need anything, he would do that on behalf of
them.
And he'd take care of his own things. Nobody, he wouldn't assign anybody the jobs or the chores that he is responsible for. So he'd take care of his own chores. He would take care of his own chores. So he would fix his own shoes. He would fix his own shoes. He would sew his own clothes if it got cut. Or torn, he would milk his own lamb or goat. And he never looked at that as something that would downgrade him or something that would make him look less than what he was. So he never looked at doing these chores as something that would downgrade him. He never thought of those things as something that would downgrade him. He would do his own
chores.
Out of his own modesty, peace be upon him.
يخدم في مهنة أهله كما يقطع
بالسكين
لحما قدما.
Not only that, but he helped his family all the time. So all the time he thought about the work at home as something collaborative or something that has to be done collaboratively with his family. So he would help his wife or his wives in their
chores
too. He would help his wife in their chores too.
بالسكين عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يعني يساعدهم في هذا الأمر. لكن في نفس الوقت يعني كنا أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني يصنعنا الطعام ويغسلنا الثياب يعني ليس المعنى.
And his wives would also take care of their chores.
وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقوم يعني بالعمل الذي.
But he would help the family significantly whenever he had time.
جهد بدني وقوة بدنية وكذا. فكان يساعدهم فيه على الصلاة.
Especially things that need some muscle.
قال يردف خلفه على الحمار على إكاف غير ذي استكبار. فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يردف خلفه يعني يركب خلفه.
To the extent that when he would be riding a donkey or any ride, he would have no problem having someone else on top of that ride with him. So it's not that he would ride the animal himself alone out of pride or anything. No, he would not have any problem having another or a companion riding the same animal with him. If it does not burden the animal, then he would have no problem having another companion riding the animal with him too, as he did with Abdullah ibn Abbas and he did with Mu'adh ibn
Jabal. فقال يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات أحفظ الله أحفظ.
Just as Abdullah ibn Abbas said,
كان مرة رديف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على حمار.
معاذ
قال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا معاذ.
Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I accompanied the Prophet, peace be upon him, on top of a donkey, and the Prophet said, oh boy, I teach you, my boy, I teach you words.
لا يتكبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يركب معه.
Be honest to Allah and Allah will be towards you.
يركب معه غيره.
Or watch Allah and Allah will watch for you.
كذلك لما مر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأسماء بنت أبي بكر.
And the same thing happened with Mu'adh ibn Jabal when he also rode on top of the back of donkey. with the Prophet, peace be upon him.
أو أكثر من المدينة وكذا كانت تحمل النوى معها حمولة من النوى كانت تجلبها من أرض زوجها الزبير كانت تعلق الفرس وكذا وكان معها يعني حمل وراجعة ومسافة بعيدة بينها وبين المدينة ورآها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعه أصحابه كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعه أصحابه يعني على دوابهم ورأوا أسماء تمشي على رجلها وكذا فأناق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ناقته وأشار إليها يعني أن تركب على الدابة قالت فذكرت غيرة الزبير فاستحييت ذكرت أن الزبير يعني يغار ربما لو إيه علم أنها ركبت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على الدابة يعني اعتذرت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ووصلت الطريقة مشية وكذا الشاهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعني ده ركب الدابة ومعه متسع يعني في الدابة
so that was شخص خلفه his tradition peace be upon him in time he would ride an animal that was strong enough that wouldn't be burdened because he was very merciful to the animal any time that he would ride an animal that was strong enough to be able to carry another person and that other person was there he would right away carry it carry that other person with him without any problem
غير ذي استكبار الإكاف اللي هي البرزعة اللي هي ما يوضع على الحمار أو البغل اللي يركب عليه فالبرزعة اللي توضع على الحمار أو كذا فكان يردف يعني معه أحيانا على نفس الإكاف مثلا إذا كان يعني كبيرا متسع لشخصين أو كذا فيركب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويردف شخصا خلفه قال يمشي بلا نعل ولا خف إلى عيادة المريض حوله الملا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني يمشي حافيا احيانا عليه
Sometimes he would walk
كان يعني يحتفي احيانا عليه الصلاه والسلام احيانا يمشي حافيا
with no shoes
يعني هذا من تواضعه عليه
again as a reflection of modesty
عليه الصلاه والسلام احيانا وربما مشى حافيا الى المريض ليعوده وحوله الملا يعني حوله يعني كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم محشودا دايما يعني اذا
and he sometimes
توجه الى مكان دايما يكون معه يعني
walking barefoot
الصحابه رضي الله عنهم يعني out of modesty ضروره خروج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من بيته لذهابه الى مكان
again that is at that time
الفرصه عليه الصلاه وكذا فكان يعني يذهب لعياده
reflection of modesty
حوله الملا يعني
or at any time is reflection of modesty
يجالس الفقير والمسكين ويكرم الكرام إذ يأتون
He would sit with the poor.
كان من خلقه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه يجالس الفقير والمسكين
And
يجالس
helpless.
الفقراء والمساكين
And you would have no problem doing that.
يعني ويحسن إليهم عليه الصلاة
And
والسلام
be very nice to them.
ولا يتكبر يعني عن مجالستهم وفي نفس الوقت كان يكرم الكريم يكرم وجهاء القبائل ورؤساء العشائر وكذا
ملوك العرب
وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكرمهم أيضا
very respectful to the leaders that come to him
يعني and the heads of the triads بإكرام فكان يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتاكم كريم قوم فأكرموه إذا أتاكم كريم قوم فأكرموه كان من صفاته على الصلاة والسلام أنه يكرمه
he used to say that if
كبير
you receive,
كل قوم أو كريم كل قوم ويوليه عليهم يعني كان
dignitaries
حسن سياسة
they give them the respect that they deserve and this is actually one of the good characteristics of leadership is that if you are a leader
يعني
you will know you know how you should be political sometimes so if you receive a dignitary or someone who deserves respect you should give him the respect that he deserves because that's part of being a good leader
عيينة بن حصن الفزاري كان زعيم قبيلة فزارة أعطاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 100 من الإبل يعني كان معه في غزوة حنين أربعة من شيوخ القبائل يعني رؤساء القبائل
فأعطى النبي صلى الله عليه
وسلم الأربعة كل واحد منهم 100
four heads of tribes
يعني أكرمهم
and he from the bounty of war of that battle of Hunain he sent back with each one of those four heads of the tribes 100 camels as bounties for their for the tribes because he always knew that these heads of tribes if they became good Muslims their tribes would follow them their tribes would follow suit
فهو نفس رئيسهم إذا أسلم يجعله رئيسا على
الإسلام. And he also maintained the leadership after Islam for those who embraced Islam. So if someone was a leader before Islam or head of a tribe before Islam and then he embraced Islam, he wouldn't impeach him, or he wouldn't make him step down. He would make him continue as a leader of a head or a head of a tribe. He wouldn't basically lose his position. That person who embraced Islam would not lose his position. He would continue as the head of tribe. He would continue as the head of tribe or as the president of his people. He continued being a dignitary or a head of a tribe or a president, and this is out of his wisdom and his ability to lead massive people or amounts of people.
أخذت منه أمواله وصار مثلاً في أحد
الناس. Not like what some people do when they come to places and peel people off their positions and take their monies or take their. Unfortunately, that is what happens across history or throughout history. You see that when people come to leadership or come to power, the first thing that they do is peeling people off their positions or making sure that they maintain power over everything. But this is not what the Prophet. Peace from that. What he did is that whoever embraced Islam maintains his position, maintains being a dignitary, maintains his money, maintains his property. Nothing would be taken away from him. The position would not be taken away from him. And in fact, he would give respect for those who deserve. So when he addressed Caesar. In a letter, he sent a letter to Caesar, the head of the Romans or the president or the king of the Romans at the time, and he sent a letter to Caesar, and he said to Caesar, the great of the Romans, as respectful as this gets, or as respect to Caesar at the time. So he gave Caesar the respect that he deserved.
فكان لا يواجه جليسه بما يكره الجليس عليه الصلاة والسلام. فكان مثلا إذا أساء شخص وأراد أن ينصحه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيعرض بالنصيحة فيقول ما باب
And when he wants to give advice to someone who did something wrong, he will give that advice to someone who did something wrong on person. He will go on public and say, why do people do this and this and this and this? So that he wouldn't know who he meant by this advice. He would give a public advice that you don't know who he meant by this advice. Because if he talked to that person, himself, everybody would know that he meant a specific person, but in fact he would give the advice in public that you wouldn't know who did that.
يمزح لا يقول إلا حقا يجلس في أكل مع الشرطة
gives jokes, he wouldn't say
فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يمزح ولا يقول إلا حقا عليه الصلاة والسلام
not a lie he wouldn't lie in his jokes
كان يمزح أحيانا ولا يقول إلا حقا
he'd joke and he'd say nice stuff to people and joke among his people but he'd say only the truth Once he received an old woman came to him to visit him to ask him about something and he said to her didn't you know that no old woman will be admitted to the paradise so she started weeping and he said because everyone will be admitted to the paradise as young so he joked with her and she started weeping but he said you'll be again recreated after your resurrection As young.
نعم. لا حتى النساء يعني هنا الحديث فسرها بأنها نساء الدنيا أيضا.
Even the woman of this life, and everyone in this life, when we will be all resurrected, will be resurrected at the age of Jesus, the Son of Mary, peace be upon him. We'll be resurrected at the age of Jesus, the Son of Mary, which is 33. The age Jesus was raised to heaven.
33.
هذا سن عيسى شيخ
نعم على في سن عيسى
in the age of Jesus, the Son of Mary, peace be upon him. 33 years when he was raised. Not when he died, because he's not dead. So when he was raised, he was 33 years of age, and we'll be resurrected at that age, 33.
أليس زوجك الذي في عينه بياض؟ يسألها من زوجها فقال أليس زوجك الذي في عينه بياض؟ قالت ليس في عينه بياض. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بلى في عينه بياض. فرجعت المرأة إلى زوجها يعني تنظر في عينه.
Once he received the woman asking about something, and he said, aren't you the wife of the person who has whiteness in his ears? He said, no, in his eyes. She said, no, he doesn't have whiteness in his eyes. And at that time, whiteness used to refer to a disease in the eyes. So she went back and she started staring in the eyes of her husband, and she said, the Prophet said that you have whiteness in your eyes. He said, what's wrong with you, woman? Everyone has whiteness in their eyes. He said, what's wrong with you, woman? Everyone has whiteness in his eyes. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was joking with
you.
Once he met with one of his companions, in the market, and he came behind him. The companion didn't feel. He came behind him and held him from his clothes, and he said, who buys this?
قال إذا تجدني والله يا رسول الله كاسدا قال لكنك عند الله
and then the companion said, Prophet, if you sell me, you find me cheap. So the Prophet said to him, but Allah finds you very expensive or very worthy. So he would joke with his companions and say nice things.
لا هو عبد بمعنى انه عبد لله يعني
brother asked if he was a slave. Sheikh says he was not a slave, but the Prophet said that as referring to him as a slave of Allah. He said, who would buy this slave? And at that time it was not a joke among his people, because a slave means maybe he was captured in war and he will be a slave. But the companion was very responsive to the joke too, when he said, you wouldn't find me trust, you wouldn't find me worthy of anything. But the Prophet said you'd be a lot more worthy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sheikh says
you shouldn't say jokes as lies. Don't lie when you joke, because that's haram. That's forbidden in our religion to lie in your jokes. The Prophet said, woe unto those who lie to make people laugh. Woe unto those who lie to make people laugh. Some people sometimes stand up and say lies just to make people laugh. The Prophet, peace be upon him, warned those people who do that. This is haram in our religion, forbidden in our religion. But the Prophet would joke and only say the truth. Only say the truth. Sheikh says that joking is like salt in the food. When it is too much, it makes food very salty and very bad, and you wouldn't be able to eat it. But it's like salt in the food. It makes food very nice to eat. If it goes beyond a certain threshold, it becomes very salty and not good food. The Prophet sometimes would call one of his companions, hey, one with the ears, hey, one with the ears. Everyone has ears.
قال يجلس في الأكل مع الأرقة. يعني كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجلس في الأكل مع الأرقة.
Hey, you guy who has ears. Hey, you guy who has ears. Calling him that way. But everyone has ears.
لا يتميز يعني لا يستنكف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كحال يعني المتكبرين مثلا لا يحبون ان يجلس معهم في الاكل يعني الفقراء
لكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجلس مع الفقراء and he wouldn't care about that, because the dignitaries in his time would not sit with the poor to the same food.
كان يعني يقول
عليه الصلاه والسلام شر الطعام
طعام الوليمه.
He wouldn't do that. Dignitaries in the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, would not sit with the poor to the same food, but the Prophet would sit with the poor to the same food and he
the worst food
is the food of the banquet, to which only the rich is invited and the poor is not. Again, listen to this hadith. The Prophet said, the worst food is the food of the banquet to which only the rich is invited and the poor is not. That's the worst food. The food of the banquet to which the rich is only invited and the poor is not. Because again, the dignitaries at his time would only invite the rich to their food and exclude the poor, but the Prophet would sit with the poor to the same food and he would find that illogical because he would say that it is the poor who is in need to that food, not the rich. The rich do not need that food. The rich already has food. But it is the poor who need that food. Why wouldn't they be invited? It makes sense that the poor are the ones who should be invited, not the poor, not the rich. It makes sense that the poor should be the ones who would be invited, not the rich. Sheikh says it doesn't mean that you don't invite the rich, you should invite both. And if it happens that all your friends were rich, then you wouldn't be falling into the category of the people who are arrogant. If you are in a fraternity or in a amongst people who are very rich, it doesn't mean that you'd be committing a sin if you invited them alone and they were all rich. If you are not purposefully excluding poor, then you wouldn't be in trouble. But you would be in trouble if you are purposefully excluding the poor, but just because you don't want to invite them to the food that you have. If you're not doing that on purpose, then you're okay. But if you're doing that on purpose, then you're not okay. What is the occasion in which the hadith, in which the Prophet said, woe unto those who like to make people laugh? What is the occasion of that hadith? Sheikh says, I don't know. That is my answer. I don't know.
يأتي إلى بساتين الإخوان يكرمهم بذلك الإتيان. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يذهب إلى بساتين إخوانه يعني بساتين أصحابه من أصحاب البساتين.
He would go to respond to the invitations of those old farms and orchards and gardens.
إكراما لهم.
And he would do that to honor them because he would invite him to their properties so that they would get the honor. People were very very keen to get the honor of the Prophet visiting them because at that time it was a great honor to have the Prophet visiting them. Imagine what it would be like that the Prophet, peace be on him, visiting you at home. Imagine what would that be like. So he would right away respond to the invitation. He would never return an invitation negatively. He would right away respond to the invitation of people who have any property. He would come to visit that property out of honoring to those people. One day he came out of his house because of hunger. He was very hungry and he came out of his house. So he met with Abu Bakr. And he said, what brought you out of your house? Abu Bakr said, what brought me out of your house was exactly what brought you out of your house. So he met with Umar and he said, what brought you out of his house? Umar said, what brought you both out of your house is what brought me out of my house, which is hunger. So the three of them being very hungry, they went to a companion who was a rich companion. And they visited that companion and the wife of the owner of that companion came out and she was very happy to see the Prophet and his top two companions coming to visit them. It was a great honor at that time that the Prophet would go to visit someone, a great honor. So she brought the Prophet, peace be upon him, in, and very shortly the husband came, Abu al-Haytham came, and he was like amazed to see the Prophet in his house. He said, nobody ever today is honored more than me. That is the greatest honor I could get or I could dream of, to see the Prophet and his top two companions in my house.
فذهب يعني فذبح شاة وشواء ذبح شاة
slaughtered and prepared a big lamb and he grilled it and he brought it to the Prophet and his companions and he brought a full trunk full of dates full of dates from a palm tree. And he brought him to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions. A whole bunch of food he brought to the Prophet and his companions.
وامرأته يعني خبزت وعجنت
and his wife rushed and baked
سوى لهم شاتا وكذا وقرب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لبنا
And brought also milk and a grilled lamb. So it was like a banquet. It was like a lot of beautiful food. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, ate from that food with his companions. And the Prophet said, you will be asked on the day of judgment about this joy. You will be asked about this joy.
يقول كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأتي إلى بساتين الإخوان يكرمهم بذلك عليه الصلاة والسلام.
It means you'll be answerable. For this joy, and it means if you
were
grateful
يدعو
to Allah or not,
because people eat وغيره
and live in luxury,
الجاري.
Yet they are not grateful enough
to Allah.
So if you live in such a luxury, you have to be grateful to Allah
بل
for the
سأل اللهم فهدي دوسا
You gotta be grateful to Allah for the luxury.
فيقول يعني قيل له يدعو على الكفار. يعني طلب من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يدعو على الإيه على الكفار
وخاصة
يعني في مرة طلب من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يدعو على دوس قبيلة دوس وكانت كانوا مشركين فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد دوسا وأهد بهم المسلمين
He said, Oh Allah, guide Daws rather than praying against them or asking Allah to revenge from them. He said, Oh Allah, guide Daws,
يعني أن
the tribe of Daws.
And the story of the hadith
is that At-Tufayl
جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إن دوسا قد هلكت عصت وأبت فدعو الله عليهم كان طفيل أسلم وذهب يدعو قومه دوسا
دوس
قبيلة في جنوب الجزيرة العربية اللي هو منهم أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه
They embraced and joined
طفيل يعني ذهب يدعو قومه
للإسلام Or doesn't want to reject its belief and want to embrace it further and further. So, O Prophet, pray to Allah to take revenge from them. Pray to Allah to take revenge from them. He said, O Allah, guide
those.
O Allah, guide those. So, when At-Tufayl went back to them, he found them embraced Islam already.
وكان يعني إذا طلب منه دعاء على قوم أو كذا
He didn't pray to Allah to take revenge from them. He rather prayed to Allah to guide them. And indeed they were guided against them. And when he would be asked by someone to ask Allah to take revenge from someone, he would say, I was never sent as a curser. I was never sent to curse people. I was sent as mercy to the mankind. I was sent as mercy
يعني
to the mankind. In fact, it was in some very extreme situations when he had to pray against some disbelievers because of how oppressive and how criminalistic they were and how oppressive they were. Let's go even into more detail and tell about that because sometimes it would become so extreme to the extent that in one oppression, one incident, in one incident, the Prophet peace be upon him. In one incident, the Prophet peace be upon him sent almost 70 reciters of the Quran, 70 reciters of the Quran, amongst the best of the companions, memorizers of Quran, and amongst the best of the companions, 70 of them, he sent them to a tribe to teach him Quran, and in the middle of the way. A tribe came on them and killed them all. And only saved three of them actually ran away from such a massacre. So it was basically a massacre. It was only in one of those, on one such an incident that the Prophet peace be upon him asked Allah to revenge from
them.
When they went extreme on harming him. They killed almost 7 years later. And it was only the time when the Prophet prayed Allah to take, prayed to Allah to take revenge on those people because they harmed him big time. And he would never talk about things negatively He was not a negative person. He was always a positive person. Always a positive person. He would never curse. Never curse.
ولا كان لعانا عليه الصلاة والسلام ولا بخيلا ولا جبانا
would never say anything that has to do with any profanity or any cursing or any full words only nice words, only beautiful words, only positive words, only serious words, only meaningful words.
اجتمع عليه الأعراب حتى إيه الجاؤوه إلى ثمرة تعلق رداء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تعلق يعني الشجرة وازدحموا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم يسألونه العطايا وهو يفرق عليهم
يفرق عليهم 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 He didn't get angry. He said, I swear to Allah, if I have as many trees of, to have as trees of bounties, I will give them
to you.
And he would never find me scared or mean. He said, I swear to Allah, he squeezed him to the tree. And rather than getting angry, he was very forbearing. And he said, I swear to Allah, if I had as many bounties, as much bounties as the trees of Tuhama, and that Tuhama was a town that was rich in trees. He said, if I had as many trees of Tuhama has trees, I would still give them to you, and you wouldn't find me scared or mean. So Tuhama was a town that was full of trees, just as Minnesota is full of lakes. It's the same kind of analogy.
ما لم يكن إثما إلا إذا كان الخيار اللي هو فيه سهولة فيه إثم فيجتنب عليه الصلاة والسلام لكن إذا خير بين أمرين مباحين
so they pressed him to a tree yet he was forbearing with them and very nice to them in the way that
لم يرى ضاحكا بملء فيه ضحكه تبسم يبديه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يرى ضاحكا بملء فيه يعني
he was never seen or heard laughing loudly he would not laugh loud he would only smile he would not laugh loud he would only smile that's how he laughed peace be upon him only smile not laugh loudly
قالوا لكن يعني وردت ايه
but in few incidents في بعض was when he laughed
يعني ضحك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى بدت نواجذه بدت نواجذه للأضراس الخفية في مواقف يعني قليلة يعني
ضحك النبي صلى
بدت نواجذه عليه الصلاة والسلام لكن يعني طبعه العام
but out of tradition he or his tradition is that he would only smile not laugh loud It's time for Isha actually and we will need to stop here. The talking about the Prophet peace be upon him would never end, but we will have to stop here.
Sheikh,
في أسئلة من الأخت بس ما هي ما لي علاقة بالدرس يعني نأجلها ولا؟
إن شاء الله نجيبها إن شاء
الله. تسأل يعني هل تطويل الأظافر حرام؟ وما هي الفترة اللي مسموح لها بيها ان هي تطيل اظافرها هذا هو السؤال
الفترة الايه
مسموح لها تطيل اظافرها يعني
نعم
يعني how often
تقص اظافرها نسبة لتطويل الاظافر يعني
three questions from a sister the first question is what growing the nails is that haram and how often could you or how often are you required to cut your nails
في حديث أنس رضي الله عنه
هذا حديث
وقت لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 40 يوما
in which Anas said that the Prophet peace be upon him allows to continue growing our nails for 40 days if we need to but we shouldn't do that because they become very long but anyways the period that you're allowed is 40 days
يعني إطالة الأظافر يعني طول الزائد يعني هذا
but it shouldn't be very long because the sheikh says they look like the animal when they become very long they look like the animal
تقص الأظافر والسنة أن يكون كل أسبوع
is that every week you should cut your nails every week that's the sunnah is that every week you should cut your nails تقول أيضا يا شيخ هل مسموح باستخدام مقصات صغيرة جدا في اخذ شيء من الحواجب و هل في يعني بدايل لمسألة ايش اسمها شيخ النمص ولا
النمص؟ نعم.
في بدايل للنمص يعني او شيء؟
نعم هو النمص الذي
يعني حرمه الشيخ منه تقول يعني ان في زي الشمع او شيء يوضع الحواجب يحددها، شمع او شيء يعني يوضع الحواجب يحددها، فهل هذا حرام ايضا ولا يعني ما هو شمع زي مادة يعني لاصقة او شيء تلصق الحواجب او يعني
تغطيها
وتعمل لها يعني زي شيبينج او زي يعني تحديد وشكل معين يعني تجميل بشكل معين.
لكن هل هذا الشمع يعني يزيل الشعر ولا يعني؟
نعم شيخ تقول نعم نعم. The second question is waxing your eyebrow, is that haram? And is there any alternatives, for example using some scissors? Is that haram? She says shortening the hair of the eyebrows is okay, but cutting it is haram. Shortening the hair of the eyebrows, just to shorten the hair itself, but to take it completely out, it is haram. It is haram to take hair completely out, or to take one hair, even one hair of your eyebrows, to take it completely out, it is haram. But to shorten the hair itself, to shorten one hair, it is okay. To shorten the length of the hair, it is okay. But to take it completely out, even if you take one hair completely out, it is haram.
تشقير إذا مثلا صبغ الشعر يعني أو بعض شعر الحاجب أو بعض بلونه مخالف أو كذا هذا أيضا معفو عنه إن شاء الله.
Also coloring the eyebrows with different colors is also halal. السؤال الثالث.
تفضل
تفضل. نسأل السؤال الثالث تقول يا شيخ هل مسموح بلبس البنطلون يعني الواسع مع الـ زي الـ يعني الـ مكتوب بالانجليزي عفوا زي يعني مش قميص زي البلوزه يعني الطويله مع بنطلون واسع ولا ما هو مسموح؟ The third question يعني is regarding the ruling on hijab. Can sisters wear pants that are loosely or with long shirts؟
يعني تيشيرت او بلوزه يعني طويله او كذا يعني في الحقيقه يعني من جهة أصل الحكم يعني إذا فرض إنه فعلا يعني إنه واسع جدا
if it is very loose
مثلا زي الملابس قلنا الباكستانيين
like some of the Pakistani sisters for example
نفسه يعني طبيعة واسع جدا
very loose pants
يعني القميص اللي فوقه مثلا
and the shirt that covers it almost reaches the knees and also loose and does not describe the body so in that case it is okay. Only in that case it is okay. If it is very loose, it does not describe the detail of the body. So someone who is looking at you doesn't know the detail of your body. It is okay. But if the pants were tight and would explain or show the detail of your legs, so if someone looked at you would know the detail of your legs and would be able to tell how your body looks like, then this is haram. It's not allowed. So if the pants are loose and the shirt is way down low to the extent that it reaches the knees almost, then it is allowed, inshallah.
نعم كنا نسأل عن حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقيلوا ذوي الهيئات عثراتهم.
There is a hadith. The brother is asking a very important hadith. The Prophet said, يعني take it easy with the dignitaries
يعني
when it comes to their slips or mistakes. Which means that someone, if someone is a dignitary,
يعني يعاملون معاملة خاصة يعني
you should give him a special treatment. A dignitary or someone with power, someone responsible,
يعني
someone with
a position,
very high position, very high profile person.
طبعا ذوي الهيئات تشمل يعني مثلا
he should take it easy with him, meaning that if he falls into a slip of a tongue or makes a mistake, take it easy with him. Don't count for him the mistakes. That is basically what the hadith means. Don't count his mistakes. Take it easy with him.
Because these people should get special treatment.
Not because they are dignitaries, but because of the responsibilities they are carrying. The carrying responsibilities that sometimes necessitate that they do things that you don't know about. You look at them from a certain perspective, but you don't know everything that they go through. So be understanding. And Sheikh says the wisdom behind that, or part of the wisdom behind that, is that these people act as symbols to the Muslims. And when you start attacking them, and when you start being critical or criticizing them, you are basically criticizing the symbols of Muslims. The symbols of Muslims. You shouldn't attack the symbols of Muslims. You should dignify them and give them the dignity or the dignity that they deserve. And if they make small mistakes, be understanding to the situations that they are under, be understanding to the pressure that they are under, because holding high positions sometimes come with a responsibility that you don't know a lot about. The position sometimes comes with so many things that we, the normal people, do not know a lot about. And peace be upon the Prophet. Alaykum as-salam.